Okay.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, January 12th, 2022. It's 8:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the Fakeologist speaking. I do the show Sunday through Thursday around this time, 8 to 8:30. I start not always on time, but always try and get in the range. And we talk about COVID-19, COVIDs, the Great Reset, the coronavirus hoax reset, and that's about it. We talk about a little bit of media fakery here and there just to remind ourselves of where we started, where we came from, but overall, it's all COVID all the time, all vaccines all the time, because if you just watch two or three of these vaccine movies, whether if you believe any of them or any part of them, and you see these parents with the damaged children, and you yourself might have a damaged child like myself, it's not pretty, it's not nice, and you really should watch a movie before you start injecting yourself, because for the first time ever, people around the world have the choice of injecting themselves, because when you're a child, you don't have the choice. Your parent makes the choice for you, and you can't tell your parent that he did a bad thing, because for the most part, you don't have any words to use. And if you're unlucky enough to get nerve damage, then you'll probably never be able to tell your parents that you don't appreciate what they did. We have a returning guest tonight from two nights ago. We gave him a day off just to recover from the show, but we decided he has so much information that we have to bring him back again and again, as long as he can stand it, and we can stand it, and you can stand it. All this information from John Lukasz of estateartistry.com/blog. Welcome back, John. Welcome back, John. Great. We are on the Discord, and I guess it's acting up. I don't know where it's acting up, but what a great way to start. John, can you hear me? Frustrating. I really don't want to bring him back on a telephone line because he sounds much better on the Discord. John, can you hear me? I don't know if he's muting himself or what is happening here. I don't know if it's my end. And I did not want to start. We were just talking, so don't... You can't accuse me of not setting the show up properly, because I did set up the show properly. I honestly did. Let's say hello to whoever is here right this second. We have a few people on already, six people on the main fakeologist.com/live. Johnny there. Okay, let's say hi to Pear, hello. Pear, you're first again. Fantastic. I think Pear is from Toronto or Canada or somewhere around here. Dirty Benny, hello to you. Bad Saturday with a Bad Saturday 1. Got his fourth booster today. My heart has never been larger. Yeah, we got huge numbers tonight. We're really trying to get our guest, John Lukasz, back. And we did have some good communication going. It was working, but he seems to have conked out. I suppose I'm going to have to phone him. You're going to have to give me a second here to dial him up. I will dial him up. I know I've got his number here. We've always got backups here at the Fakeologist Show. So I know he's got a cell phone. So we're going to see if he has. John, hello.
I'm here, Tim. I'm here.
Oh, now you're on the Discord as well?
I never pressed any buttons. All I did was sit here.
You said we're going to go live.
Okay. Doesn't that figure, eh? I dial you on the phone and I get two copies of you. You can hear me on the Discord now. John, can you hear me on the Discord? Oh, that's so strange. Okay, I'm going to hang up on the Discord and call him back. Not my fault. I trust me.
Yes.
Okay. I was echoing back, so that is really strange. You couldn't hear me on the Discord, but I could hear you twice on the phone until I disconnected the Discord.
I could maybe, you know, go out of this and come back in. Maybe that'll do something.
Well, hang up on the Discord. You can.
All right.
Hang up. Okay, you hung up. Now I'll call you on the Discord. And then you answer the phone. Sorry, guys. This is really bad radio. So you're going to answer the phone. You got to answer the phone on the Discord. Go ahead. Press the answer button. The phone.
Okay, I'm waiting.
The phone is there.
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 Now can you hear me?
Now can you hear me?
I can hear you through the computer. Yeah.
Okay, I just hung up the phone. You can hear me now?
Through my computer speakers, yes.
Oh, okay. So I think you must have something conked out on your headphones then.
I don't know. It was working. I was hearing you through the headphones in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you must have a loose connection. Okay. Enough tech talk. Just turn down your speakers a bit.
Okay.
And that way I won't echo back.
All right.
So we're going to say hi to Don't Be a Dog's Body. Dirty Benny, hello. Lost Spider Phallus, hello. Tunax, hello. This is Cutting Edge Radio. We don't have a producer, so we do all the producing ourselves. I know. This is cutting edge. This is the way it's done. But I do have all kinds of ways to connect to people. All at my fingertips. So, John, how are you tonight? How you been over the last couple days?
I've been doing good, mostly cleaning up trees on my property after that snowstorm beating we got.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're on a big expanse somewhere in Virginia?
Well, it's not too big, but it's a nice little wooded acre about a block off the Potomac Riverbank.
How close are you to Langley?
For anyone... I'm pretty far from that. I'm next to Gunston Manor.
Gunston Manor. That doesn't mean anything to me, so I suppose I need to look it up.
Okay. There is a peninsula that juts out into the Potomac that is south of George Washington's house, and this is an area that's sometimes called Mason Neck, and Mason Neck State Park, Pohick State Park, Gunston Manor, and a huge wildlife preserve. And there's a tiny neighborhood nestled in the middle of all that. So I'm in that neighborhood.
I'm looking at this now. This is all news to me. Let me look here. Where are you? Where is Washington? Okay.
Look up.
You're on the Potomac Gunston. River. So you are south of Washington. Interesting. And where's Langley? I know you don't work at Langley, but I just want to keep saying that.
Maryland.
Langley's near Maryland?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I mean, I know. Yeah, I know how to. I've been there.
Langley's in Virginia.
Langley, Virginia. Right. I'm thinking everything's very close here. You know, if you go up the Parkway, you're skirting three states, and so you're just a hop, skip, and a jump. You go over the river, you're in Maryland. You stay on this side, you're in Virginia. If you go a little bit north, you're in D.C.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of near the belly of the beast.
About 25 miles south of Washington, D.C.
Okay. Do you have any connection with the intelligence agencies?
I taught a dance lesson there in my teen years.
Okay.
That's it. In the cafeteria. It was the weirdest experience. One of the weirdest experiences I've ever had going into the NSA building. But no, that's as close as I ever got.
All right. So you taught spooks to Boogie for their children. Wait, there's Quantico. Quantico. What is Quantico all about? You're near there, aren't you? Quantico, Virginia. Are you near there?
You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know where you're going. You're near Quantico, Virginia. Isn't there something spooky about that?
Not really. It's pretty far south. You know, look up Lorton, Lorton, Virginia. That's my zip code, 22079.
Well, you don't have to give everything away, Langley. I got you on the map here. I got your Mason Neck State Park. Langley is in Virginia, I believe. George Bush Center for Intelligence.
Talk tonight? Yeah.
I know we're boring the hell out of everyone. Oh, I see. Langley is north up the Potomac.
Yeah, if you want to risk death and press the screen share button, I can show you exactly.
No, no, we're good.
Okay.
No, I already looked up. You're on the neck, Mason Neck. I just was looking up where Langley was. So it's up north of Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, the neighborhood's called Halloween Point, and it was actually a ferry boat crossing to get over to the Maryland side back in, back in when? Jeez, Civil War days.
Okay.
I don't know actually when it ran, but there was a tiny little beach that's now part of the community land, and that's the actual point that you would hallow the ferry at, so they call it Halloween Point.
All right. Okay, that's
it's
enough.
It's pretty here. I mean, it's a beautiful place.
I'm sure. Will it be a UNESCO preserve? Will they be taking it away from people?
I don't know. I don't know. But it doesn't feel like, you know, you're really as close as you are to things. You know, when you the closest convenience store to me is 6.5 miles away down a deer-infested two-lane road.
Oh, Halloween Point. Halloween, not Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween. Okay.
Halloween Point.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Excellent. Okay. What's your research taking you to today? I don't even know today's news. Did anything happen? Did we get a new virus today? Anything happen there?
Oh, well, I'm sure we got one. Somebody got one somewhere, you know, pasted on them. But I don't know. I didn't really check, to be honest, after we had that brief phone call last night. Mm-hmm. I got into doing some work that I just stayed up all night, to be honest with you. And then I took a nap and then I went out and cut trees. So,
you don't see really a point in keeping up on all the propaganda for the day.
No, I don't. I mean, I January has been kind of a slow news month for me because I've been busy with some other things. The book that, you know, we can talk about tonight is a vaccine injury protocol book, and I've been trying to get that published again. So what I'm doing with that is dealing with a lot of very frustrating programs. So I have two books. The first book we talked about last time, it was a medical thesis of about 30 pages long, followed by, you know, another 70 pages of evidence. And so that was all about the work of Charles Roche. And the gist of that book was that vaccine theory can't possibly be true. And we've known that for over 100 years. So that's what the takeaway will be if you were to read that. And there's a lot of interesting speculation I make in there. Some of it's still valid. Some of it's not. We're all learning here, and this was something that came out in April of 2021.
And the book is called COVID-19 Vaccines and Induced Anaphylaxis.
That's the original title, right. And it went up on Amazon and was a bestseller for most of the summer, and then they banned it. But it went up with a different title because they wouldn't publish it with that – or allow me to publish it with that original title. So it was called Curious, Start the Conversation, just to be, you know, guerrilla about publishing. And then they banned it, and then it was just, I had a few copies myself. The only way anybody could get it was after this was really to send me an email, and I would just give away the PDF. So it was a giant disaster in terms of trying to be an author, but it is still a tremendously popular book. And then over the course of the summer, I put my nose to the grindstone looking at all this vaccine injury and what most people are calling COVID. And I was aware of a lot of people that were trying to write little protocol methodologies for people who had COVID. You know, I'm very unique in the sense that I am very careful with what words I use. So, you know, if somebody asks me, is COVID real? I'm like, no, COVID does not exist. It is a fiction. COVID, if it's anything, is vaccine injury and nothing else. So I'm not curing COVID. I'm fixing vaccine injury, and I'm trying to do something to, you know, come up with a way to dismantle, deactivate, neutralize, and detox this terrible mistake so many people are making, and that mistake is getting a COVID vaccine. So it's a vaccine for a fictitious illness. What it actually is a witch's brew of poisons, dozens of them, nothing good in there. And there are a lot of people who have died, gotten sick. I mean, this is the worst thing to be passed off as some kind of medicine, I think, ever.
Is this a genocide?
Well, I wrote a lengthy piece on that, and I leave this sort of question to other people. I don't really like to be put in a box that, you know, already has a whole bunch of billboard signage on the outside of it. And when people say, you know, are we being depopulated? And I say yes, then all of a sudden I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm a guy that reads the wrong newspaper, or no newspaper. I'm not trying to convince anybody. Your ideas are your own. But when I look at something, I beat the hell out of it, and I look in good places, and I present very solid evidence. So, you know, my blog is a little hidey hole on the last page of a landscaping website, a business I don't operate anymore. It was just a fun little business I did for a while. And that's one of the reasons why I've been able to sort of get around a lot of the censorship, because I publish in a place nobody's looking. And if the people that know about it, and there are a lot of them, my blog's been read all over the world, and so it has tremendous traffic. And, you know, I throw articles up there on whatever, you know, hits me each month. And, you know, they sometimes they're a bit of a rant, and sometimes they're very specifically providing information on a subject, which is timely on that day. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. You know, if I have something to say, I'll throw up an article. Sometimes I will put one up every single day, and you might have 20 articles in a month. And then January, I think I've only done two or three. And the reason for that is I've been kind of consumed in trying to edit the second book, my vaccine protocol book, which is called What Now? Recovering from a Tragic Mistake. And it's not as long as the first one. It's about 67 pages. There's still some typos in it. And it just needs to be formatted. I got a guy working on some cover art, and I've got a printer ready to go. So, you know, I've had my nose in that, trying to clean that up, make it look a little bit better. Because the first book is very polished. It went through a proper editing process and all that. This one here was a rush job. I mean, I was packing 18 months of research if you can see the room that I work in, I have one room in my house that looks like an FBI investigation. It's just stacked notebooks everywhere. There is no square footage on any of the walls. It's covered with research papers and stickers and post-its and everything that I'm doing. And I
can you take a picture of that? That'd be great.
Can I take a picture of that? Yeah, I can. I mean, there's easel pads and
that would be great.
And, I mean, it's
that would be sort of the creative room of a research savant, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
that would be funny.
Yeah, so
just blur out any identifying details. I like you have your name, author John Lukash, former slave. I love that.
Hey, that's on my blog, yeah.
Former slave. And so, can I read the intro to your Charles Richer COVID-19 book? Because I thought it was pretty good.
I don't know. I had a dedication there.
Yeah, I want to read that.
It was kind of poignant.
Now let me read that. Can I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
This book is dedicated to all the victims of this massive deception. Those who die too soon, too suddenly, too senselessly, whether young or old, not because they sought to do harm, but because they strive to do good for themselves, for their families and their friends, and even for those they did not know, all to serve an evil purpose. And to all who love them and mourn their loss, may that loss enlighten others to the truth behind the lies and save them from a similar fate. That's a really great, great dedication. Did you do that?
I had a little help with that one, so I can't say entirely, but I started it, and a very talented writer cleaned it up just a tad.
And then you have a C.S. Lewis quote: "You never know how much you really believe."
It's not C.S. Lewis.
Oh, it says C.S. Lewis.
It's a clever fakery. This was one of the things that was kind of funny when I was publishing this book, whether or not to include this, because it is written in the style of C.S. Lewis, but it is just adapted to, you know, be more applicable to our time here with COVID and pandemics and silly diseases and stuff. So, Goodreads says it is. No, he's wrong. It's not C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, it's published. I mean, it's written to look like a letter in a book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, but it is not. It's just another conversation with the devil that looks like it belongs in that book. But when I put it in my book, I just put it down as author unknown because I thought it was, an excellent little piece, but nobody knows who wrote it. And if you try to look it up, you'll never find that associated with C.S. Lewis.
Except on Goodreads. I just pulled it up on Goodreads.com.
Now, everybody says that's him is misled. That's not C.S. Lewis. Yeah.
But it is. You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death to you. So he never said that.
No.
That sounds pretty good.
I actually read the Screwtape Letters. If anybody hasn't, it's a fabulous book. It's kind of a conversation between the devil and his, I don't know if you want to say it's his son, his minion, his trainee, a lesser demon. And he's teaching him, you know, how to be evil.
Okay, that's amazing. Now, getting back to your book, just you might
liken it to a creepy Machiavelli.
Your first book, COVID-19 Vaccines and Induced Anaphylaxis, is what we are getting injected now, is what they're trying to inject in the whole world now, any more sophisticated than stuff
I don't know if you...
No, is the stuff they're injecting...
I don't know if you had a chance to...
Is there stuff they're trying to inject into us now any different from the stuff they were doing 100 years ago?
What stuff are you referring to? Vaccines in general?
Yeah, the stuff that Claude Richet was experimenting with. Is it much different?
There's a concept there, and we talked about this on the last interview. You know, we could rehash it if you want to, but I was hoping we'd kind of move on.
No, we can move on. I just, I guess I missed it. So one more time, and then we'll go on to what now?
Yeah. So there is a fork in the road that medicine took with the influence of a great deal of money and John D. Rockefeller. All right. So we went away from terrain theory, which is this concept that, the body is self-sufficient pretty much. All you need is proper food and nutrition, and that there are no such things as pathogens and contagions and little slimy boogers that cause illness. And this terrain theory guideline, this whole school of thought, school of medicine, was promoted by a contemporary of his adversary, Louis Pasteur. It was promoted by Antoine Béchamp, a French guy, doctor. And Antoine, was one side of an argument. The other side of the argument was Louis Pasteur's argument, who, he's famous for an awful lot of things he didn't actually do, and a lot of people are very unaware of that. And there's a reason for it. And it wasn't even very well known just how much of a fraud Louis Pasteur was until 1996. So this is a very recent development. Louis Pasteur is the father of germ theory. Okay, so illnesses caused, according to Louis Pasteur, by little pathogens. And if we encounter them and we're not adequately prepared or something, they can, you know, wreak havoc on our biological processes and systems and make us ill. So if you, you know, talk to a person who is practicing homeopathy, that is the kind of medicine that involves natural substances, herbs, vitamins, good food, clean drinking water, you know, healthy living, good mental state. You know, these are the people that, you know, they're natural people. They believe in natural remedies. And, you know, if you think about it, modern medicine is a fairly recent development. It's really only kind of been in the form that you would recognize for, you know, about 100 years. You know, if you are practicing allopathy, you are part of this medical system in which disease is caused by germs, and there are all kinds of things that can go wrong with you that can be solved by a brilliant person with a proper pharmaceutical. And the problem here has to do with a legal snitch, you know, stitch. Okay. You can't patent anything natural. That's kind of a rule. Supreme Court said that. You can't patent, like, basil. you can't patent vitamin C, right? But what you can patent is a pharmaceutical that is a non-natural substance that may be derived from any part of something natural or nothing at all. Maybe it's entirely a chemical. So your initial question here is, are we still vaccinating in the same sort of fashion? Yes, we've been vaccinating in the same sort of fashion with the same sort of understanding of what that is since the Middle Ages. So what we are doing, put extremely simply, is we're taking a little bit of poison to teach our body how to deal with that poison, whatever that is. And, you know, that doesn't always work. You know, there are some things that, like opiates, where you can get a tolerance built up to them for a period of time. And then there are some things like mercury that I don't care what, you know, regimen you are on to acclimate to mercury. You can't do it. It's a lethal substance. It'll kill you. You can't.
I heard if you drop a drop of mercury in a swimming pool, that's enough to affect you. That's how it's one. That's how infinitesimal. Yeah, the amount is required. It's so toxic.
There is a woman who I read about who surprisingly just got a splash on a latex glove and she died.
Mm-hmm.
And when I began this work, that was one of the things I had a hard time believing that. Mm-hmm. How can anything be that toxic? Well, there's some. You know, there's some caveats to that. There are various isotopes of mercury that are far more easily gotten into the body. They do far more damage. This woman was not playing around with the contents of an old thermometer.
Okay.
So she didn't wipe up a spill in the wrong way or anything like that. The particular type of mercury that she was dealing with, which just happens to be the same type they put in vaccines. Let's just throw that out there.
Thimerosal.
Apparently latex gloves, they don't provide any protection, and it went right through the glove. She never knew it. She should have known it. That was, you know, she's a lab kind of person, scientist working with the stuff. When it got on her, she looked at the glove. She thought, oh, I'm protected by the glove. She just didn't know. It's a chemistry screw up. And, she started having all kinds of symptoms. Vision went blurry. Balance went bad. Cognitive function went downhill.
Is that a public story?
Or
a known story?
I don't know where I found that, and I can't remember her name. But it was just, you know, one of the little bricks on the sidewalk I followed to get to where we are today.
Okay, let's go for your book. because I want to keep this show about an hour to 90 minutes. So we'll just go right into the book.
Okay.
What now? Recovering from a tragic mistake. I've got it up on the screen, so anyone that's following along on the video, if I'll make it as big as possible so they can read along with John. So if you want to just hit some points that you find relevant to the listening audience, just tell them what they should read more of. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
First point. Okay, I can read the red points because are these the highlights?
Yeah. Let me just take. I can sum this up without reading the entire thing. I start my book off correcting some misnotions. All right.
Okay.
So I felt that it was very important to get a few things, straight right in the beginning, because I'm very frustrated when I listen to very knowledgeable people talking in their wheelhouse about some aspect of this. And, it's almost as if the pandemic in general had 10 different parts. They're talking about two of them that they are fairly qualified to talk about, and they are getting all eight other points so absolutely wrong that you might as well just not listen to them at all. And this includes everybody I can find. There is nobody out there telling it like it is. I'm unique because I'm telling you unequivocally, I'm making very bold statements. And I have thousands and thousands of pages of research that backs this up, over 500 articles I've written since April of 2020. If you dispute me, you have to carry the burden of proof. I've already done my work, so a lot of times I will tell people, go to my blog and start learning medicine, start learning physiology, start learning genetics, chemistry, vaccines, learn Rockefeller medicine, learn history. I mean, there is so much history here. I have a set of foundational premises for my book that you absolutely must understand. Otherwise, my book is going to hit you as a bunch of hokum because I don't agree with one thing you think. Not one. I guarantee you, you're going to read this with your eyes bug-eyed. So I start off by telling you straight up, the pharmaceutical industry is the most sinister and evil enterprise ever constructed. And I give a bunch of history about why that's true. And okay, this is stuff that, is easily looked up. I go to a second point, and I'm letting you know that there exists a class of mentally deranged elitist people that you'll never meet, that don't want to meet you, that feel threatened by your existence to such a degree that they have decided to exterminate you to quell their own sick paranoia. And I'm not going to spend any time on this book talking about Freemasons or, the Queen of England or the Club of Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are plenty of places to go to learn about who these people are, but I'm going to define them very, very easily. You see some of them on the screen talking about COVID every day of your life since the past 2 years. Every place you go, their faces are plastered on it. And these are low-level people that have handlers above them. So there is a seen and an unseen. And I don't go to the trouble of naming them. I'll just say to you that they are worth all the money in the world. Okay? So this is a tremendously, impressively large financial effort. And it's not like there's a bank account with somebody's name on it, and this is Dr. Evil, and it's not all Bill Gates. All right? It is an industry. It's a sinister, corrupt industry that has, been changing forms for hundreds of years. And the people that always come up with the latest version of it are, they're prejudiced people that don't like you because you don't walk in their circles. You're poor. Okay. You're unprivileged and they're privileged. And this goes all the way back to a mentality that kings used to have, which was the divine right to rule. I'm not going to tell you they're reptilians or anything foolish like that. I don't know. What I do know is that these people are always the same bunch of names, and the only thing that changes is the date. So this thing that we're caught up in right now is the latest iteration of their world domination thing, where they would much rather be in a world they control entirely, every aspect of it, and it's a feudalistic kind of system. And you know, for those of you who know, different kinds of political structures, feudalism is you have no rights, you're nothing, you're chattel. Okay, the only thing that stands between you and what you want to do is how much you're worth, how many friends and guns and bullets and weapons and army and whatever. Okay, that's how they want to live, and you got nothing to do with their life. You'll never touch them. All right, so. The third point is that this entire pandemic, as I've just said, is a huge hoax. All right. There's been lots of smaller trial runs before this global effort. And this has always been a way to use some kind of health crisis as a viable strategy to, seize total power. A lot of people are not aware that what we're going through, this debate, do vaccines work? Are they safe? Should we get one? This argument happens about every 100 years for the past 1,000 years.
Wow.
If you go back in the history, you're going to find the same kinds of things happening. Sick person over here, guy says, you got to put him in a box, keep him away from people. It's for the greater good. The only thing that's changed here is you don't know that history and you've never bothered to look it up. And a lot of people take the position it's not true, but it is actually true. George Washington during the Revolutionary War, instructed his troops, should you get vaccinated, I will shoot you. On a firing line, you're forbidden to get vaccinated because he had a campaign to pull off at times and he didn't have any soldiers that were not deathly ill. And vaccination back then was, a scalpel, an inch long cut and stuffing that they would put into your body of all kinds of nasty whatever they were vaccinating with back then.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and it's been done in every country in the world. It's been done in every sort of every big, the Romans did it, the Chinese did it in the Middle Ages. They used to take smallpox scabs and grind them up, dry them, grind them up, and then blow them up your nose with a long blowgun.
Variolation, yeah.
Yeah, this was the very first attempt at vaccination, and there's a lot of history you don't know there if you just think that vaccines are a modern-day invention. All right, so this is a way to draw lines to divide and conquer, to say that somebody is undesirable for a reason. And it is a argument that they have they've made so complex, so unnecessarily complex. Medicine, I tell people, is fairly straightforward. Okay, it's not hard to become a doctor. What is very hard to become is a pharmaceutical rep.
Okay,
because that's what a doctor is these days.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So everything about this pandemic, and I mean everything, is a giant theater play, stage show. It's just it lives in your television. It lives in your if you didn't watch television, didn't have a computer, if you didn't listen to the radio, if you were just a bumpkin, with some livestock and a happy life, you would have no clue that this was even happening. Okay, and you just think about that for a minute. So that's a premise here. All right, I came over to this idea that germ theory is entirely false, that there is no such thing as a virus, and there is no such illness as COVID-19 grudgingly. I had a hard time, like you would probably, getting to this level where there is no exceptions to this rule, because I can't find any. All right? And when I publish this book, there's going to be something in it that I think, before we decided to do this show tonight, I went through and I reread the whole thing just to see kind of how it flowed and write down some page numbers in case you ask me a question. And there's something that needs to be there. What is a virus? Okay. I talk about this a little bit. I speculate about it when I wrote my first book, and I wasn't sure back then. But I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to propose a concept that a lot of people are going to think is pretty radical, and they're not going to have a lot of examples from their own experience to call upon. They're going to find all kinds of things wrong with it and ask me, you know, how about this? How about this? Fine. You ask me anything you want to. This is how it looks to me. This has, this is a theory, okay, that lines up with everything that I've come to understand. And I'm not putting myself out there as the ultimate expert. I know more than anybody I've met, anybody I've heard, I know more than them. All right. So I'm going to say that a virus is, for all intents and purposes, little more to the body than a mailbag. All right. Just like in the world, you need trucks to deliver groceries to the grocery store where you go and get them. The body has to ferry around enzymes, proteins, all kinds of instructions that, you know, are on a molecular level. And these are, a lot of these are nutrients. But everything in your body is a protein of some kind. Thousands and thousands and thousands, uncountable proteins. You're constructed from. And every one of those proteins has a purpose, and some of them are nutrients, okay? Your cells, you can think of like little tiny people. Every single cell is alive. Some people even go so far as to say every cell in your body has its own consciousness. I can't really imagine what it's like to be a cell in my body. I'm a little bit higher on the food chain than that as a collection
funny.
Of them.
That's right. Funny.
But you have to feed that cell or it will die. And it has a membrane like a castle has a wall, and if something has to get through that membrane, there is a mechanism of action for that, and you can think of it like a set of keys, all right? And these keys hang on the outside of this little mailbag, and this mailbag has another name. It's called an exosome, mm-hmm. and it is also what people are pointing to when they say there's a virus. Okay. So we're mincing terms here. I'm going to call a virus, what everybody's referring to as a virus, an exosome, because it shares exactly the same properties. All right. So if a virus is a bad bug that makes you sick, it must be able to infect you and reproduce inside of you and take you over. And it can do none of those things. There is no nucleocapsid. There is no reproductive ability. It is not alive by any sort of measurement that we use to define life. It is an empty shell, like a seashell you find on the beach sand of your favorite beach. It doesn't have a snail in it. It's a skeleton. Okay. And these things come and go like garbage comes and goes in the gutter as you walk down the street. It's just part of biology. All right. And if your body needs a mailbag to deliver something, it will create one. All right. So we know from the study of the modern study and formulation manufacture of vaccines that these structures, which are called adenoviral shells, are very convenient mailbags. We can stuff these shells with vaccine material. And when they encounter a cell, there's all different kinds of them, you know, just like there's all different kinds of houses, and everybody has a front door and a back door and a basement door and an attic, and there's a key that opens all these doors. There's an adenoviral shell with the appropriate key to get a particular thing to a particular cell tissue or cell of a particular tissue. And they have just come up with, you know, some universal ones that act like master keys, and they stuff them full of their vaccine stuff. And this is how a cell in your body gets vaccinated. Okay. Mm-hmm. So with that, everything in my book, I think, makes a lot more sense. I think that needs to be in there. All right. But I'm not quoting anybody. I'm not trying to be, you know, an inventor here. I'm just giving you a way to think about it, which explains everything, meets all the criteria. It fits every model, but it's not like an official theory of anybody. It just makes sense. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the body that modern medicine even doesn't understand. Yeah. Doctors don't understand.
You're creating a scientific model that tries to explain what you're seeing.
Yeah, I'm telling you everything that it's not. You know, this is a thought process that's been kind of lost because public education is so bad. It's called apophatic inquiry. If you don't know what a thing is, you start by defining what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it is not a pathogen with its own sort of, self-preservation routines. It doesn't think. It doesn't reproduce. It's not alive. So how does this add up if a virus, the way they describe it, it has all these qualities that they won't argue with, right? How is it that it could be that sort of thing and still have the ability to come in like an invading, marauding army and completely take over, subvert, control your body, and cause you symptoms of any kind? I don't see a way it can happen, right? And I'm not alone in this concept. You know, there are other notable doctors who are terrain theory guys, and there's a lot to explaining and defending terrain theory, because there's a few things that are still kind of unknowns in medicine. Just, they're things that we all accept, but they're just great stories. They don't really, nobody's really proved them, right? It's kind of like germ theory. You know, it's very easy to understand this idea of pathogens, because we have other things that are not viruses. They are like bacteria and fungi. All right, some bacteria and fungi don't really go very well if I, you know, give you a glass of it and tell you to eat it or drink it. Okay, they do damage. And some of this stuff, in fact, this is, you know, where this whole theory goes, is created by your body. In fact, nothing in your body got there from the outside necessarily. Everything found in your body could have a perfectly reasonable explanation that it originated in your body, that your body produced it. And if you doubt that, tell me what a stem cell is. All right, a stem cell can be any cell in the body, right? So you give a guy a bunch of stem cells, he starts growing a piece of tissue that has rotted away out of neglect or malnutrition. You know, that is a great example of your body creating something from scratch. Okay, it's baking a cake. All right. So nowhere in any of my writing do I ever accept or state or slip or, you know, build upon this block that viruses exist. I will tell you an exosome exists. There are such things as bacteria and fungi. It is no such thing as a pathogenic, contagious virus. And I'm going to stick to that, and it's up to you to beat me down and tell me where I'm wrong, because the only arguments you will ever hear are arguments you got somewhere else, and they're all wrong arguments that are unprovable. They're just accepted, like black holes are accepted. I've never seen one. I don't think anybody has. But, no, we believe they're there. And we believe COVID is a disease. COVID has never been isolated. It has to be. If it's not, it's not a disease. So, we'll get into some of that stuff. All right. So all vaccines, this is my next point. All vaccines are harmful snake oil, and all COVID vaccines are deadly. Okay. This is many magnitudes worse than any vaccine sort of formulation or voodoo they've ever come up with before. This has been decades in the making, this thing, and it's completely artificial what's in there. Okay, it's completely artificial. You might as well just go down to Home Depot and take a shot glass of every chemical you can find and just slug it.
All right? Wow.
That's how bad it is. Nothing natural in it. All right, so my next point is COVID is not an illness. It is a syndrome. It is a definitionless, descriptive term used to encompass vaccine injury.
Right.
I'm going to go out and say COVID is, if it's anything, COVID is vaccine injury. So I will never tell you that I am attempting to treat COVID with these protocols that I'm going to give you. All right. I am treating vaccine injury. Okay. What I'm doing is trying to mitigate, halt, possibly reverse COVID vaccine injury to the body and the immune system. All right. And you should also understand that I'm not a doctor in the sense you're familiar with. I have some additional expertise. Doctors go through pharma-proof curriculums in schools. I didn't. Okay. Doctors treat symptoms. I'm trying to heal by identifying and correcting imbalances that are a result of specific toxic exposures to poisons that have been identified in the COVID vaccines. And I call them COVID injections because technically they're not a vaccine. Technically, they're a medical device. Okay. There's lots of legal definitions that go into these biologics applications for all these kinds of products. It doesn't follow the understanding in any state or anywhere of what a vaccine is. And they're changing the definition of vaccine to make it fit, like round peg, square hole.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm not treating COVID. COVID doesn't exist. Viruses don't exist. You're being poisoned, and I'm trying to unpoison you. Okay. There are no, nor have there ever been any genetic cures. And I'll go so far as to say, with, some fairly good evidence, that here's what a lot of people don't understand.
about genetics. Okay, if at the basic level, if you ask somebody what genetic therapy is, they're going to tell you that there is this thing called DNA, and this DNA is, you know, 6 trillion bits of information that make up you, and somehow these instructions are followed when you're gestating in the womb, and out you come, ready-made. Okay, it's a recipe for you, and your DNA is yours, and it may be similar because you see other dudes around you that look like humans, but they're not you. You are your DNA, and they are theirs. It's the only unique identifier of your body. Okay, and the concept here is another concept that makes sense. It's easy to understand. It seems like it would be a fairly good, you know, explanation if it were true. But the idea is that I can take I can look at DNA like a string of pearls, and I can take a specific pearl that causes blue eyes, and I can cut it out and put in a different one that you only find in people with brown eyes, and now you have brown eyes. Okay, that traits. And traits are literally anything, okay? It's how tall you are, how fat you are, whether or not you're predisposed to some, you know, problem you can get down the road, whether you're black, you're white, you're female or male, all right? Whether or not you're right-handed or left-handed, traits are traits. And these people that are geneticists have this belief, and believe me, they really, everything they do hinges on this idea that for every trait, that is possible to express, and there's lots of unexpressed ones. All they have to do is figure out which pearl on this string controls that, and if they can, you know, splice in a different one, you can have control over all these traits. And, you know, an extreme example would be, hey, I would love to have a set of wings. I want to fly, right? Okay, well, where's the trait for wings? It must be in a bird. Okay, let's take something out of a bird and put it in you, and now you have wings. That is kind of a silly example, okay, but this is part of that understanding, okay? What you're never told, what is very hard to learn about this, and what very few people will tell you, is they cannot explain why, when they say that they've identified the specific trait for blue eyes and they give you the other one for brown eyes, and you come out with brown eyes, you also come out with strange-looking fingernails. Or something. There is no toggle switches in the body like there are toggle switches on mechanical devices. And they look at the body like it's a machine. It's a simple machine with gears and cogs and wheels.
Binary. Right? Binary.
And so if we get in there like a car mechanic and we mess around with these things, we can make it go faster if we want to. Mm-hmm. And all we have to do is figure out where that little toggle is and manipulate it. The problem is that it doesn't work like that. It's never worked like that, and they're at a loss to explain why every time they do a simple thing like turn your brown eyes blue, they also somehow mess up a whole list of other things, and they have no idea how they're connected. It's not like they're next to the thing you mess with. It's not related. It's not in the same general vicinity. It's not in the same neighborhood. There's no connection. It's like apples and oranges. You know, I tried to just make you prettier, skinnier, friendlier, you know, something, make you have a nice beard instead of a patchy beard, and instead you came out with 11 toes, and I can't explain it. Okay, so genetic cures are genetic, anything genetic, okay, is this concept that you can go in there and you can mess around with the DNA with accuracy and predictability, and that is not the case. All right, so
I'm also convinced that there is more than enough evidence to establish a relationship between COVID vaccine adverse events and EMF radiation. And this just has to do with nanotechnology and nano particulate matter and the unique properties. The stuff that they are putting in here, and this is not a debate anymore, okay? This has been settled. There is graphene oxide, lots of it, in all these shots. And it has graphene is a, you know, type of carbon. There are 8 different allotropes, which microscopically are different shapes. You know, so you have sheets and cylinders and buckyballs and strings. And, you know, there's 8 different shapes that it can assume. This stuff is so tiny, it acts kind of like... it's kind of like the difference between physics and quantum physics. When you look at something small enough, close enough, it doesn't behave according to the laws you and I are familiar with. It has its own set of rules, and this stuff is not biologically compatible, okay? You're taking toxic substances and you're putting them into a form that is so fine, so minute, that your body doesn't even know it's there in many cases. And this is really, really, really bad. This is something where, you know, they like certain properties, like graphene is used for molecular binding. All right, you hear a lot of talk about spike protein. We get into that. Spike proteins are these menacing little things that people envision are floating around in their bloodstream, and they cause COVID, and or they're part of the vaccine, and they because you're exposed to them, your body can now defeat them because it was instructed by that introduction through the vaccine. All this stuff. You know, these spike proteins, they say, do damage by attaching themselves to things they're not supposed to be attached to. Things like cells, things like the inner endothelial layer of your blood capillaries, you know, things like your blood platelets, things like your T cells and macrophages. They're not, and they're kind of like barbs. Okay, so they can stick there wherever because of an electrical net charge. So a red blood cell normally has a net negative charge. When you saturate somebody with a toxic dose of graphene oxide, that causes what is known as a Ruglio formation in blood. So a single red blood cell, you can think of like a wet water balloon. They go through the tiniest capillaries in your circulatory system in single file, and they slip right through. Okay, but now you're taking that red blood cell and you're introducing a substance into your body that instantly covers it with Velcro.
Okay.
Now it's sticking, clotting, cutting. It's doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, I go on and on here, but all the there's like 30 or 40 different toxic substances that are the equivalent to crushed glass and rocks and metals. And it's like you put a car in a blender and then just ground it up really fine and you put that in you. Jeez, man, that stuff does a lot of very fine damage, stuff that, you know, escapes the notice of even you or your doctor or your CAT scan.
Well, they're not looking for it. Yeah, they're also not looking for it.
They don't even know. There is this thing I call vaccine blindness. The vaccines cannot possibly be the problem. So it doesn't matter if the evidence is such that I have 100 people and I gave 50 of them the vaccine. All 50 vaccinated people died instantly, and everybody I didn't give the vaccine to isn't sick anymore. That's not enough evidence to convince a person with vaccine blindness that there's a problem with the vaccines. Okay, so there is a lot of, you know, this is a substance that is paramagnetic under certain conditions. It behaves kind of like a heavy metal. It's it is electrically conducive. Okay, and it self assembles. If you have a little bottle cap full of this graphene material and you set it down next to your cell phone and call your cell phone, it dances like iron filings do in a presence of a magnet.
Right.
Stuff, it kind of looks alive. It really does. It looks like an organism the way it moves. All right. But whatever that is, you don't put that in your body. Okay. But they like this because it allows their spike protein invention to stick where it wouldn't stick normally, because it changes the electrical charge on cells, and it also messes that bloodstream up. All these cells stick together. They form clots. They look like little rolls of coins instead of what they should look like, which is just a scatter plot on a microscope
slide. Is it also kind of like pesticides, where they put some kind of substance in pesticide to get it to really stick to the plant and inject the poison, like a fattiness to it?
Yeah, they call it a sufficant.
Yes.
All right, so it's like Dawn dishwashing soap and something that kills crabgrass. Okay, you want to make sure it sticks to the plant. You throw a little dish soap in there, and that's your sufficant.
Right, okay, that's the word. That's the word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, otherwise it would wash off, might not kill the grass before it washed off, right? So same kind of idea.
Okay.
So there's an awful lot to this. I'm not going to get into it all. I got a job here, and the job here is curing your vaccine injury. So all I'm going to tell you about this stuff is it's nasty stuff, and it's got a lot of creepy qualities. You don't want it in your bloodstream. It causes a severe hematological disorder. All right. So the next point is every sniffle is not COVID. Just stop calling everything COVID. All right. What has been done to you here is a kind of mind control in which you've just had a bait and switch. All right. It's a very simple trick, and they've obfuscated the simplicity of it with all kinds of jargon that are from a profession you don't have. I'm not talking to doctors that are listening. Maybe this is your profession. All right. But the guy who just does some sales job or, you know, is running a company somewhere, or he's a, you know, financial expert, this guy is not used to all the vocabulary used in medicine. He's not. He doesn't know what any of those words mean. And they're throwing those around, those words around, with inferences that they mean things that they don't. All right. And everybody has adopted, you know, a vocabulary without a dictionary. And they don't even know the definitions of any of the words that they're using to describe the pandemic situation. I catch people all the time. All right. So let me explain. In my first book, the very first thing I said is flu and colds are, flu is not an illness. All right. It is a forcible detoxification process like defecation or urination or perspiration. It is a natural biological process. It is just your body taking out the trash. That's the simplest way to look at it. And it's a little uncomfortable. And it's for that discomfort that we ascribe it the stature of an illness. It's not an illness. All right. If I could put you in a, on a new planet with a completely sterile box, you would still occasionally probably go through this process, and you would wonder what maybe pathogen is on the new planet that you're not prepared for. And that would be wrong-headed thinking, okay? It's just like you don't question when you perspire. You don't. You
That's
just,
right.
You know, you worked out. You came back, your shirt's
You're not
wet.
Sick
That's
when
not
you
weird.
Perspire. You're not sick.
Your body's just conducting business, all right? So what they have done is they – and they don't even count flu anymore. They have taken something that 2 years ago would not concern you. It was a minor annoyance. I'm feeling off today. And, you know, a lot of people that know a lot about this will not call flu season the flu season. They will call it low vitamin D season because vitamin D is naturally synthesized through sunlight, and you don't get a lot in the winter. In fact, if you stood out – in the cold, completely naked, all the time the sun was shining, you cannot get an acceptable, healthy level of vitamin D in your body. And for this reason, things start to go a little south in terms of, you know, the your humors and whatever, and you detox the stuff that builds up for lack of vitamin D.
Oh, that's right? A great explanation. That's great.
Right.
And it's worse now, for black people because their melanin blah, it
that's true.
Needs
that's
even true. More sunlight because they're used to being out in the.
The lighter your skin is, you know, the darker your skin is, the more of a problem you have with this. But neither here nor there. It affects everybody pretty much equally. Okay, so 2 years ago, right? Let's all back up to 2019, summer of 2019. How many people called in sick to work with the flu during the summer of 2019? I'm going to say only the people that were fibbing.
Okay, now, all right.
In the winter of 2018, lots of them. Were they fibbing? Yeah, maybe some were. But you know what? A lot of them weren't. And we used to track instances of influenza, all right? Because what we would see was the coincidental presence of coronaviruses and rhinoviruses. These are structures that, you know, they're just names on things, okay? You have a cell. It has that spiky appearance. They look at it closer and closer and closer and closer with more and more instruments. They start seeing other little structures, and they start naming them. And you have things that have been called rhinoviruses and coronaviruses, and the causality there is not proven. It's assumed. And so because everybody believes in germ theory, it's just, you know, you don't know anybody that ever believed terrain theory. That's how total it is, probably. And so, you know, there's always a reason for your sickness. It's never your fault. But in actuality, the reverse is true. It's always your fault. The only thing that causes illness is malnutrition and oxidative stress. That's it. All right. So if you're stressed out, you just lost your mom yesterday, you're all sad, you're depressed, you're lonely, your girlfriend left you, your dog died, like, you know, country song, all right? Your life's like a country song. Okay, you're undergoing physical stress. It's mental stress, but still stress, and your immune system doesn't operate effectively under any kind of stress. The same is true is if you don't dress properly and you're shivering cold all day or for several days. And this is why, you know, people who are exposed to the elements frequently get sick because they just get run down. You know, you only have the ability to operate at, you know, top level when you're properly nourished and you're properly rested and, you know, you don't have any deficiencies. And everybody does because we are literally ingesting crappy food and polluted air and, you know, recycled water that has God knows what in it. All right. And on top of this, they're adding toxins and contaminants every day. You know, every one of those little chemtrails you see in the sky is a plane dropping garbage into the air. And it could just be the exhaust from your car. Anything can be an irritant. And your body just deals with everything, and you're surrounded by 300 to 400 pathogens that have names every day of your life. They're all over you and all in you, and you could be not concerned at all, right? Until the time when you undergo a detox process naturally, and your body forcibly ejects this crap, and that's a cold or a flu. It's not an illness; it's a biological process.
Right. Okay. That's good.
So. So when we're saying COVID is an illness and COVID is undefinable, it could be anything, right? Everything's COVID. But you know what's always COVID? The top five symptoms that also also happen when you're detoxing, okay? Mm-hmm. You get a runny nose. You fever. Might get a fever. You might get itchy, watery eyes. You know that commercial that lists off a whole bunch of things? For, what is it? Some flu medication.
NyQuil, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Stuffy head, runny nose, fever, so you can rest, mask, that thing. All right, it's the same thing. Okay, so they're going around and they're telling you, they've done a bait and switch. They have convinced you that now this list of symptoms includes death. It's never included death. And there are doctors that I have found who will go on, and these are not schleps, all right? These people are like, nobody's ever died of pneumonia. I had to look that up. I had to really, I couldn't just accept that. I had to go, you know, and explain that, right? And what you will find out is that pneumonia is frequently just the thing that takes you out, okay? And it is
the
your
final
body,
stage.
It's just, this is the idea of dying with something and not of something. So if I shoot you with a gun 9 times, and all 9 times I miss your lungs, you're going to die and you're probably going to bleed to death. And some of that is going to involve fluid in your lungs and it will also include pneumonia. All right. If you have enough time to develop it. All right. So you really died of gunshot wounds, but you also had some phlegm. Coming out when you drew your last. Okay. So fevers, runny noses, congestion, coughing, colored phlegm, mucus, headaches, fatigue, watery eyes, perspiration, etc. They present symptomatically. Every time you have a buildup of toxins in your body, it's nothing new, nothing special, and it certainly doesn't require a brand new designation of COVID. All right. So all this chatter about COVID antibody creation, oh my God, it's pure rubbish. Somebody tell me what an antibody is. Somebody tell me. Okay? Because it seems to be just a thing that turns up in your body when you get something that isn't supposed to be there or isn't useful to the body anymore. Now, I can't go into such gory detail with every single antibody that somebody wants to, you know, present me with. But what I'm going to tell you about COVID vaccines is you can't create an antibody to mercury. You can't create an antibody to SM-102, all right? You can have a reaction to a poison. A toxin will create a reaction. And they're calling all these reactions antibody creation. They're saying that just means it's working.
And they count them, too. They count the antibodies.
Right. Right. We poisoned you and you are now ill. And that just tells you it's working. Oh, horse pucky, right? So moving on, the initial testing of COVID injections was never the experiment. You are the experiment, okay? If you look up the actual documents, and I have read all the biologic applications, I have read all the trial reports on all the COVID brands, everything that went on in this amazing time when the world came together to come up with a COVID vaccine to save itself, I read every piece of documentation, and you probably haven't. And I'm telling you that there was never any other endpoint to any of this work that was anything other than I'm going to reduce your discomfort a little. They never said it provides immunity. They
yes,
never
I agree
said
with
it
that.
Stops transmissibility.
I agree
All
with
right?
that.
So yeah. what the hell is it doing then? All right. You got to fill in that blank yourself. All right. Moving on, the actual recipe in these COVID injections is not consistent at all. It's not consistent at all. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to fill a swimming pool with water, and then I'm going to invite all my friends. I'm going to throw some garbage in there. I'm going to, you know, make sure that it's in the path of every, you know, wild animal. They're going to urinate and defecate. I mean, I'm just taking a swimming pool and adding stuff. Okay, that is a COVID injection. Yes, there's a formula. Yes, it's very specific. There are a lot of ingredients in there. But what exact amount of each one, how stable, how viable, how much of each is in there, that gets defined once. Okay. And then if it changes in any significant fashion, and because this is brand new, nobody knows what defines significance, they are supposed to start completely over and do the process all over again with a new biologic application, with a new product, call it something different. All right. Well, that didn't happen. That hasn't been happening. In fact, everybody was in such a rush because this is a, quote, emergency. All right. We got all put into fake overdrive for no reason, scared out of our wits that some lab somewhere in China created a terrible thing that instantly was all over the planet. And no, I mean, you know, just look at this silly Omicron thing, all right? Some guy comes back from a trip and they tell you that he has Omicron, and the very next day there are a shocking number of cases in Australia and the UK. And that guy never went to any of those places. How did he put his illness over there? How did he put it in Africa? How did he put it in the Netherlands? Well, the fact is he didn't. He didn't do a world tour of epic proportions before stopping somewhere, getting identified with a new pathogen. You know, what he did, we don't know what he did. He just, you know, he might have been on a all-night bender before he got off the plane and he wasn't feeling good. He went in, and everything's COVID now. I remember when they started this stuff, they used to say blue toes were COVID. That was just another symptom that somebody said was unique to COVID. Blue toes? Come on. I mean, there were hundreds of these things. It got really laughable. All right. But this guy, he went and got a COVID test because that's what they do to you, right? Nobody will touch you without being encased in plastic and 10 feet away and all this stuff, right? Unless they give you this weird thing called a COVID test. All right. And here's what test they gave him. They gave him a type of test. I don't think it really was an RT-PCR. I think it was a genetic sequencing kind of. Because he, I don't know, for whatever reason, the craziest machines came to bear on this situation. All right, when they identify COVID, the way it's supposed to work, all right, is a lab technician is supposed to look for three alleles, they call them. All right, he has a little a little guide that has sequences on it. And they are just letters, all right? C, T, T, G, 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 C, T, 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 G. They are little base pairs that somebody has told them means COVID, okay? Mm-hmm. Or SARS-1 or MERS or any of the bird flus or any of these things. They all have little designations. And the ones that their precious test detects needs three to be positive. He only got two. So right there, it should be over. You don't have COVID. You just feel like crap. Take two aspirin, call me in the morning. That's what would happen under any normal day. And COVID negative, I don't know what it is, but it ain't COVID, would happen during a pandemic. But not this time. Nope. they decided in, you know, the most impossibly stupid moment of diagnostic fluidity that this guy had a new kind of COVID. And in that moment, they created a third more cases, not by finding a new Omicron variant, but by lowering the bar for testing.
Yeah. I thought they reduced the number of letters in the sequence, and that just encapsulated a whole exponentially higher number of people because they just took less letters in the sequence.
Just think about it, though. What a clever way to do it. You didn't have to do anything but change the rules.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what the rules are. They swab them and a guy tells you yes or no. Nobody knows how that test works.
No.
You know what what you're doing when you're doing an RT-PCR is like a simplified way to explain it would be you're looking at something under a microscope that has the ability to magnify it 4 trillion times, and then you're looking at that amount of stuff and you're saying that's a dangerous amount of that stuff. I gotta laugh. That's ridiculous. I can probably survive drinking an ounce of paint. All right, that infinitesimal, unmeasurable without advanced modern chemistry and stuff, millions of dollars worth of equipment. That stuff it doesn't hurt you. Okay, it just doesn't.
No.
All right, so. So the recipe here, and getting back to where we're going, the recipe in the COVID injections is constantly changing. And this means that you have no expectation for any kind of result, whether it be good, bad, or middle of the road. All right. It's a total crapshoot. If you get a batch that has a little more something that your body doesn't like in particular, we'll call that anaphylaxis, okay? Because, boy, they didn't want you to have an allergy. Boy, they're really, really cautious about allergies, right? Because there's so much you could be allergic to in here. Everything, really. It's all poison, right? You're allergic to every poison that is toxic. And they're playing around with the formulations because they're testing out different effects. When I got into the literature, I figured out that there was at least 30 or 40 different stage 1, stage 2 clinical trials that were not advancing anymore. They were being carried out surreptitiously under the guise of COVID vaccines on people that thought that they were protecting themselves from the Wu flu, which is just a Franken creation of some evil people all across the world. And they had to do this so that, they wouldn't hurt anybody. No, that's not what's happening. It's just not what's happening. Okay. You're just, they're experimenting on you to see what happens. And they don't want to bother with clinical testing because it takes too long. They can't make their money and their medicines quick enough. What they have to do is they have to just see who drops and who doesn't and make a decision to market something or not. And they just decided to take clinical testing, public clinical testing, out of the picture and do it secretly on you without telling you.
Right.
Okay. So these are my starting assumptions. All right.
I like them all. I like them all.
And please, if you can prove any of these things to be wrong, I mean, read the book so you really understand. I've just not read 13 pages. I go into some detail on some of these points, and you're not going to be able to beat me. I can't find a doctor that can beat me. So bring it. bring it.
And go to your blog. Email John. John has his email at CEO@EstateArtistry.com.
Yeah, or comment on the blog or something. But really, if you want to challenge me on this, you better bring the store. All right. I don't want to just hear your opinion. I don't want to hear a headline you picked up. I don't want to hear that you heard somebody said something that they picked up because none of that's real. All right. I want to see the store that came from the whole chain of custody from the concept to conclusion. You got to bring a good argument because I've read some good arguments and most people don't even know what they look like. So let's get into the list here. We can get partially through this or not much through it. This is, a lot of information about all these things, but my approach to this is very, very basic. Okay. I went and did what I still believe I'm the only person in the world that did it. I'm not saying I am. I just don't know anybody else that did it. I haven't heard anybody claim they do it. I'm looking because that's a person that I would want to talk to and I can't find them. I can't find them anywhere. All right, I went into the literature, the peer-reviewed research papers, and these are not all accessible to people. Now, a lot of this stuff I had to write the authors of these papers and request a copy because I don't have a credential and I'm not a scientist and I don't have a lab and I don't have a reason to know. It's just, hey, I'm just a interested cat. Can I read your stuff? And some of these guys will just send you their stuff. And so I read how these things are manufactured, what's in them, all the challenges that they had to overcome, all the stability issues. You know, I reverse engineered these, my solution by looking at all the problems that they had to solve to bring, the result of COVID vaccine to reality. So I know what's in there and I know how to break it. All right. And so I'm going to do this with, you know, less than a dozen natural vitamins and two prescriptions. And that's all you need. And maybe one other thing. I don't know. DMSO isn't in the book, but, you know, do some work on DMSO and you'll find that you can, it's a miracle substance that the FDA classifies as an industrial solvent. But neither here nor there. So here's the list, all right? These are over-the-counter or mail-order items. Sodium bicarbonate is just normal generic baking soda. Buy a box of it, all right? Vitamin D3. You want 5,000 international unit gel capsules. Get the biggest one you can. Why screw around, all right? Monolaurin. Monolaurin is a homeopathic extract, all right? It comes in various capsule sizes. Look for like 500 milligram pills. Just whatever I'm telling you, get the biggest pills that you can because they're not so big that they're going to hurt you, right? The next one is normally goes by NAC. It's N-acetyl L-cysteine. A lot of people might see that on the shelf and have no idea what it is. But it, just think of it like a vitamin, okay? Get a bottle of 600 milligram capsules, NAC. Now, you're not going to be able to buy this on Amazon because some little debate recently cropped up. This is a vital part of my solution here. And in combination with other vitamins, amazing things happen with NAC. The FDA revived an ancient argument that somebody tried to make this behind a prescription years ago, and they didn't have a good argument, and they're pretending to take up that argument again. So because Amazon is part of the big beast machine, if you're a nutraceutical sales outfit and you're selling on Amazon, you cannot sell NAC. So you can go somewhere else. Just type Google NAC, and 1,000 links will come up. Buy a bottle of it from somebody. Okay. Vitamin C. Everybody knows what that is. Try to get 1,000 milligram capsules. Something called bromelain. A lot of people have never heard of this. Okay. Bromelain is just another vitamin. You can usually find them in 850 milligram capsules. If you can't find that, just get the largest one you can buy. It's not expensive or weird or anything. Okay. It comes from pineapples. It's a pineapple extract. All right. Get zinc in, I suggest 50 milligram tablets or the equivalent. Selenium, 200 microgram capsules. You don't need a lot of zinc and you don't need a lot of selenium. In fact, you don't want to overdo either one of those. So for somebody to take 50 milligrams of zinc a day, that's the absolute max I would say is prudent. Too much zinc will, you know, cause calcium deficiency. You don't want to take too much zinc ever. You don't need a lot of it. Okay, but it's a critical ionophore that is a transporter that allows a lot of the other things on this list to work much better. Okay, selenium is in all kinds of foods, so you don't need much selenium. I'd buy a modest bottle of any size capsules, take one every other day, that kind of thing. Selenium, if you eat two eggs every morning, you don't need to do this. It's in pork, fish, steak. Selenium's in everything. You don't want to overdo it. Just have it on hand because it's part of the equation. All right. I put Quercetin there as optional, but I go into a lot of detail on Quercetin, and I'll be honest with you. I say optional because everybody likes it and no other reason. Quercetin's useless. It just is. I explain why in the book, but it's just one of those things that, you know, you can't keep enough Quercetin in your body for longer than 2 hours to make a difference. And if every claim about cortisone was true. This is the most amazing thing, most amazing natural supplement ever. And I just, there's no research, okay? They're playing around in a petri dish. They're not playing around in a body because the body just eliminates this stuff in a couple of hours. So you can't possibly eat enough of it to do anything. All right, so people will debate me on that. Take it if you want to. It won't hurt you. Okay. Calcium. All right. The Janssen Vax, the Johnson & Johnson one in particular, drastically lowers calcium. It just basically rips it out of your body like a hurricane. All right. So, and that's because it has another chemical compound called EDTA. All right. EDTA is used to regulate calcium, when you have too much and bring that level down. And it's full of EDTA. All right. So you need to, if you got a Janssen Vax, calcium's important. All right. And, there's only a couple of others. There's elderberry. Okay. Elderberry was known to the ancient Greeks. It's, these things are the best tasting vitamin on my list, man. I like them so much. I look forward every day to eating my elderberry gummy because it tastes that good. But you can also buy pills. All right. You don't need a lot of this either. Just, you know, it's a good antioxidant. It in combinations with these other things, it does more than it would by itself. So you get that. And then it also helps, if you consume moderate nicotine or alcohol. Now, I tell people don't take up smoking because I said you need nicotine. All right. It's just something that's helpful to another process I describe later in the book. All right. And the same thing with alcohol. So you don't need to be a drunk, but, and kids, you're listening, you're underage. I didn't tell you to go drink. All right. All I'm talking about is such a small amount that, you know, we're not partying here. Okay. And I make some suggestions for people that don't smoke, you know, like, a mild nicotine gum is one way to do it. Chewing tobacco is another way to do it. That's, people hate that, but you know, you could also take a substitute like that looks like a little bandit pouch, but isn't tobacco at all. Same thing, just a little bit of nicotine. Okay. The two prescription ones are chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. I write this down as optional for a number of reasons, but really ivermectin is the big bomb, okay? There's an awful lot that ivermectin does. It is not just an antiparasitic. There are parasites in these vaccines. I have seen them. They are not hard to find, okay? There's several. I don't know what they all are. The ones that have been identified are Trypanosoma cruzi, which causes Chagas disease. Okay. The Pfizer formulation is rife with Trypanosoma cruzi. Okay. And, it has been suggested by some that they think they've found T. Gandhi. I haven't found anybody to my satisfaction show me that's in there, but it makes sense. And then there are these other things that you just see developing in the bloodstream of vaccinated people that look like little GMO Hydra organisms. There's parasites in here. Okay. Ivermectin is a miracle drug. Okay. The story behind ivermectin was, you know, it was a cure for river blindness. You know, people, living in Africa, river blindness was a terrible thing where, you know, your eyeballs would just look like they, you know, they were all cataract filled and they go blind. And you know, that's it. It's caused by a little parasite. Ivermectin kills 22 different parasites and has a multitude of other functions that are in the pharmacology that I'm not sure that everybody understands all of them, but it deactivates something very, very damaging inside, the mRNA shots, and that is the production you're making. You're getting mRNA, which are little genetic sequences of instructions, in these PEG encapsulated lipid nanoparticle envelopes. These are the active ingredients in the vaccines, and they are making more than spike protein. They are making HIBGP 41 and 120, which are they are autoimmune diseases that are caused by that specific glycoprotein, HIV GP120 and HIV I think GP41. Okay. They're just names given to two glycoproteins, which disable your immune system, and they actually ruin it. Okay, and the more of these shots you get, the worse it is. There have been a range of estimates, but if you have two shots and a booster, and you got your last booster recently, in about a month, you're going to have no immune function that's measurable. It's that bad. You lose 15 to, one person said 15 on the first shot and 35 on the second shot, and then the booster, because it's three times the potency of any of the other two that came before it, you're just wiping out your immune function. You don't have any. I know for a fact that the Pfizer vaccine, because this came out of Pfizer documents, it was a leak. And I don't know what happened to this guy. He came out and he said this, and then he vanished. But he came out with Pfizer internal documents, and I read them, and I have them. And they show that for up to 2 weeks following a Pfizer COVID vaccine, your immune system completely flatlines. At least a few days, as much as 2 weeks. That means you're walking around with no armor of any kind, and you're susceptible, vulnerable to absolutely everything which would normally be harmless. All right. That's why people come down with COVID after they get vaccinated, because they all vaccines are immunosuppressive. You will not ever hear them speak of this. They have to be, because you're poisoning the body, and you have to take away the body's ability to destroy something in order for the effect that they're after to take place, which is some kind of antibody production, they say. All right. So they are all immunosuppressive. And just think very simply here. Don't use any of the fancy jargon. Just think about this. All right. You have a problem that you define as, I'm vulnerable to a pathogen that I'm told is out there. I'm going to go get a medicine that's going to make me immune to it. All right. None of that is true. All right. But you believe it, and this is why you go do it. And what this thing actually does is take away your clothes. Mm-hmm. Now, does that make sense? All right. If you don't believe me, I can produce the paper. I'll give you the citation. There is a specific one that came out in journal Nature Reviews. It was called Lipid Nanoparticles for mRNA Delivery. It's long. It's hieroglyphics to most people. But it is, I think, on page 8, where they talk about something that is, one of the most shocking things about this whole thing. You know, we've listened to Fauci come out every single day and say, oh, the vaccine's not working so well. We're sorry. Let's give you another one. Yeah, this one will work. I think we've solved the problem. All right. And he keeps couching this in terms of waning immunity. And he's explaining away the effect of ruining your immune system, which is you get sick, as, oh, he came in with it first. That must be what it is. And it's not the vaccine, or it could be the vaccine. We just don't know, because there isn't enough data. And over and over and over again, all they're telling you is a big bucket of excuses, anything that works, but they want you to believe that what wanes is the effect of their miracle cure. And that's not true. Right in this paper, it tells you that what wanes is not immunity, stability. The structures, the lipid nanoparticle, PEG encapsulated envelopes that contain the mRNA have a stability problem. They only have a shelf life of 3 months on the outside, and there are all kinds of other things that occur from manufacture to administration into a bicep or something that further degrade that stability. The temperature changes, the thing sits out too long, you dilute it too much, you handle it too much, you sit in the syringe and the guy's late for his appointment, it goes bad. It goes bad immediately. This stuff is like, I don't know, it's like, it's so unstable, it might as well be fairy dust. And so anything will destroy it, right? And the one thing that can't destroy it is your immune system if it's been shot up. All right. So they're trying really hard to get this stuff, make a lot of it, get it over to you fast, put it in you really quick, and then give you a bunch more of it so that it can continue to hurt you, because that's the goal here. All right. They're not carrying anything because the illness is fictitious. Mm-hmm. They're putting something in you for their own devices. And there's any number of things you can and find about what those machinations are. Just trust me, they're not curing a disease with it.
Yeah.
So, sorry.
You okay? Want to take a glass of water? We're up at the you sure laid it out good so far. Yeah, we're at about the 2 hour mark. Do you want to break this show up and come back tomorrow? That way we I just don't know how much more time you need. And
that's, you know, we can do that. Why don't we do this? This was good.
Lots to absorb.
So, you know, we've covered the premises and we've covered the shopping list, and everybody, if you were writing that down, you know, you now know what to take. You just don't know how much and why. All right. So we're going to get into some of that. I have sections in my book that cover a lot of other kind of side issues, like, you know, we talk about the prions and the shedding problem that some people think they're seeing. We talk about 5G a little bit. I talk about the damaging hospital COVID protocols. I talk about, you know, toxins you've never heard of, like SM-102 and 2-hydroxy-B cyclodextrin. You know, I get into some advanced terrain theory and I speculate a little bit. All right. But if you want this book, you don't have to pay for it. You just have to send me an email, all right? And I'll send you both books, and I'll send you a form letter with a sheet of information that has some supplemental stuff. And you know, between these resources, and I don't even think the first book is necessarily as important as the second. If you're vaccinated or you have loved ones that are vaccinated, they're ticking time bombs if they didn't get a placebo, because even if they did, that saline is full of graphene oxide potentially. So you can get no vaccine at all. You just got, you know, a ringer, but they gave you some crappy saline. So, you know, if, maybe the parasites are in there. Who knows? All right. We're just talking about active content being variable and the amount of the poison being variable. So I'll send you both books, and you can search my blog for just whatever. Anything that you doubt, I've already covered ad nauseum in some article somewhere. It's not very well organized. It's almost like a long roll of toilet paper, but you can find things. And if you're looking for something, ask me. I'll tell you where it is. Usually I can tell you where it is. There's so much in there. It's unbelievable. But these books are very important. They're the only ones like it. I'm not going to ask you to put anything in your mouth that will hurt you. I've put all this in my mouth. I'm reasonably healthy to begin with. So this is not specific medical advice. This is generalized medical advice, but it is a pharmacologically based countermeasure to a toxic poisoning. That's what it is, and it works. It's going to work because the combinations I lay out here, all the reasons that I give, it will take this vaccine and turn it into nothing. It'll turn it into nothing. And the only thing that you have to be concerned about is time, right? If you just got vaccinated, you need to get on this now, just as a precaution, even if you feel good, all right? Because you don't know what's going on.
Is there anything you can eat as a food that has a lot of these constituent vitamins in them? Because a lot of people think vitamins just aren't really that helpful.
There's plenty. Plenty. Everything, you know, food is what you're supposed to be getting your nutrition from. Okay, it's just the fact that the food is so adulterated and crappy these days. You know, there's nothing good in a McDonald's hamburger sandwich. And you know, most people don't grow their own food. And even if they did, you know, we got pollutants in everything. The fertilizer is made of chemicals. It's not real fertilizer anymore.
Right. You know? True. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to be accurate about it, sure, you should be able to just eat good food, but you're not. Nobody's eating good food in this entire world.
Too bad. Okay. Well, that's brilliant. And by the way, you give the book away for free, but like all value for value ideas, including this blog, you should donate something if you can to John to help subsidize his meager living down there on the Potomac.
I mean, you can if you want to. I have a PayPal button that you can press. If you don't use PayPal or refuse to use PayPal, some people have mailed me an envelope with a couple of bucks in it or something. I don't demand anything. I want you to have this, and I'm not going to charge you for it. All right. At some point, I'll have both these books published again, and that'll be a way to contribute to my, you know, to my work, because, you know, I don't have an income. I am supported by people who give me what I have because they like what I'm doing. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
That's very good.
I don't earn
very
any good money. I don't have a regular job. This is my job.
Well, obviously, because you put a ton of time into it. It's very extensive, and I've never talked or read anything like this.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said to you last time, I think maybe in donations I've received about $1,300 in the past year. So it's not like everybody sends a lot or anything. Some people do. You know, one guy sent me $500 from Australia. I couldn't believe it. Fell out of my chair when I saw it. And that guy got the very first copy, and, you know, and he has my personal phone number, calls me whenever he wants to. I'll do my best to fix anybody.
That's very nice. You know, I like Australians are generous. But so are Americans too. Yeah.
But I'll take 50 cents if you're willing to give it. And don't send me any money you need. If you need it more than me, you keep it.
You got the right attitude. That's real generous. Why don't you come back tomorrow and we'll pick up on the book. We're on page 13. Tomorrow or the next day, depending on how our schedules work. We're on page 13. This is extremely great information. Very interesting. You have such a unique perspective. I haven't heard anyone talk about it anywhere. So,
And if there's a doctor out there that's listening, I would love to have your opinion. Okay. And I'm not asking for your abuse. I can beat you up. Trust me. I'm not looking to beat up. I'm looking for anything else that you can bring that maybe I left out. And I don't mean just throw the kitchen sink in there. A lot of people are talking about, you know, volcanic clay and, you know, it's just like general things that most people are deficient in. They throw in their protocols. I haven't yet to read a protocol that, you know, they may have some things that I include, but there is no methodology here. It's a scattershot approach to just fixing feel bad. They're not chemically dismantling, reverse engineering a specifically created Franken formula. I'm doing that. I'm the only one doing that I know of. If you're doing that, God, you know something I don't know. Let's work together. I want to know what you know.
Share it. Share. All right. Well, we got the audio set up pretty good. I've got every time you were talking tonight, I had the appropriate page. I don't know if you saw it or could see it on the screen, so people can sort of read it as you're going. It's very well written, easy to understand. And
it's not very well written. I'm actually a little embarrassed. You'll find problems with things in there, but it's going to get better. By the time I get it published, which hopefully maybe the end of this month or slightly into February, it'll be sparkling. I just, you know, this was a rush job. It was more important that, you know, there's nothing material in there that's a mistake. I don't think. I read it over today, the entire thing, and I just saw grammar, you know, it's just not.
And spelling. Recommend has one C and two M's. I saw recommend a few times spelled wrong. So there you go. That's my donation to the spell check for you.
Yeah, I think I mentioned Andrew Wakefield in there again. Mix that guy up with Andrew Kaufman. That just made me
take Wakefield out because he's a
he's a back pusher. You were right.
MMR. Yeah, he just wants to sell you three different injections.
I don't know any Andrew Wakefield. I know Andrew Kaufman, and I get them mixed up, those two guys.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. The book is huge, so people need breaks, and you need to rest your voice. I think you talked very well for 2 hours, and that's sort of most people's limit anyway. So thank you so much, John, for tuning in. Make sure you share this on your own website. All these links and audios should be shared around, and
I got to get on the stick and put up another blog post. I'm sitting on so much stuff, and it's just I'm working on this little project here, and I'm getting behind. But I don't think I'm missing anything. It's just, you know, wash, rinse, repeat for the propaganda machine.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Now you concentrate on the solutions, which is great. All right, well, if you like the show, fakeologist.com/donate, and we should be back here tomorrow, John and I, or the next day, one or the other. We'll get through this book because it's good stuff.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John. Take care.